Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. And I just want to bring you all the honor and all the glory today for everything you did in my life and my family's life. Lord, I want to thank you, Jesus, for what you did on the cross. Thank you, Lord, that you died, but you rose again. And thank you, Lord Jesus, because of that, I can have life and life in abundance. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This is the story of my life and my family. I was a born-again Christian, but I have to say to you today, there is definitely more than just being born again. For 15 years of my life, I was in the church. And I praise God for that, because this time in the church was where I got all the knowledge from. But you know, you can have a word of God and it can be just a Logos word, or it can be a Rhema word. And for so many years, the words of God wasn't Rhema in my life. And in 2004, me and my family were on our way from the Free State, South Africa, to Johannesburg. And in the middle, there was a still standing vehicle in the middle of the road without lights. So my husband didn't have any choice. He had to try to miss this vehicle, so he couldn't go right side because that was the fast lane. So he went to the left, and our motor vehicle just started rolling and rolling and rolling. And that was absolutely the worst experience of my life. Because when we came to stand, I realized both my children were not in the car anymore. My son, older 12, and the youngest one, Josh, 3-year-old. I try to get out of the car, and I start shouting their names. And it was a winter night, and it was so cold, and I was falling over all the pieces of the car, and suitcases, and all our belongings. And while I was falling over these parts, just a silent voice, which is the Holy Spirit, spoke to me and saying to me, all the broken pieces of your life are nothing more than a beautiful mosaic of your future. And I was crying in my heart because I wasn't ready to hear that. And I could hear my youngest son, Josh, crying in the bush. So he was okay. But we couldn't find Aldo. And I was shouting and searching for him, but couldn't find him. So the Holy Spirit led me to the other side of the highway, where I found my son lying. And the moment when I saw him there in the bush, I fell over him and my heart cried out to him. And I called unto the Lord. And I said, Lord, have mercy on me. Aldo's skull was cracked open from one side to the other side, and blood was coming out of his ears. I couldn't find any pulse. So I just realized in my heart, I just knew these things. As a mother, I think you just know that his life was just running through my fingers and I couldn't stop it. And I realized he's going to die. And the next moment, a 4x4 vehicle came out of nowhere and in the bush, because he was trying to avoid the accident scene. And the Holy Spirit said to me, jump up. If I didn't do that, the vehicle would have been over us. So I jumped up and I looked into this light of this vehicle, and something happened in my spirit. My whole body was shaking. I cannot explain it to you. I was shaking, shaking from head to toe. And if you would have asked me at that moment, what happened to you? Maybe I would have said, shock. That is shock. Trauma. And the next moment, the peace of God just filled me. It just filled me. I could call on my husband and I said, I found him. And they phoned and the helicopter came. And the young man, the paramedic, said to me, Mrs. McPherson, he said, I'm doing this job for many years. I think you should say goodbye to your son. He's not going to make it. And I still had the peace in my heart. And the next moment, a car came from nowhere and he just stopped and a black man jumped out of the door. The first thing, I was afraid. And then he started screaming and he said, in the name of Jesus, no death will take place tonight. This boy will live and he will not die. And he said it again. He said, in the name of Jesus, no death will take place tonight. This boy will live and he will not die. And I was crying out, Lord, where are you? Where are you? And he said to me, my spirit, look at that man. Look at him. He is my hands and my feet. I don't know about you, but I've never ever in my life stopped at an accident scene and just start praying for the people. And that was my first lesson. I realized, you know, it was all of my life. It was all about me. Even though I was a Christian, it was about me. Not about God, not about someone else, about me. And they took Alder to the hospital and we arrived there later. After 4 hours surgery, a doctor came out and he said to me again, he said, Mrs. McPherson, he said, I'm not sure if your son's going to make it, but still I had the peace of God. And then a week passes and they had him on every machine on the ICU, in ICU, anything. They just kept him alive with machines. And he was in a coma. And I stayed opposite ICU in a room. And the first Saturday, my husband said to me, you have to go home. You can't stay here forever. You have to go home to Josh. He needs to see you. The truth is, I was afraid that he was going to die. And then I wouldn't have been there for him. But eventually I left. But before I want to tell you what happened to me at home, I just want to tell you this. You know, we all teach our children that we are serving a supernatural God because Jesus was born out of a Virgin Mary. But we don't ever teach them about God's power, that we really are serving a supernatural God. That night at home, I had a dream. And in this dream, I could see my son and I saw his fingers were shrinking and turning black. And his lips shrinking and getting black. And in this dream, I said to him, Aldo, Mommy can see that you are dying. And I know where you're going. And you know Jesus. So many times I said to him in real life, remember, Aldo, you cannot just say you know Jesus. Jesus needs to know you too. Because everywhere in the country where I go, people saying to me, Rita, I know you. I know all about you. Maybe you know me, but I don't know you. That's a different story. And in the dream, I said to him, I know you know Jesus and he knows you. You can go. You can go. And in this dream, he said to me, Mommy, no. He said, speak life over me, Mommy. Speak love, because the word of God teaches us, and he says, whatever you speak, you will eat. The word of God said, dead and alive is in the power of the mouth, the power of your words. You have to speak life over a situation or life over your children. So many times when you listen to people, you will be amazed what they speak over one another. I just want to see, it's Proverbs 20 verse 18. Let me just see. From the fruit of his mouth, man's stomach is filled. With a harvest from his lips, he's satisfied. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruits. The tongue has the power over life and death. And that is what I realized that night. And the moment I started speaking to him and I said, you will live and you will not die. You will live and you will have abundant life. The next moment, his fingers starting to grow. And it grow. And it grow. And his lips starting to get color again. And then he starts crying. And I mean, that is impossible, because he was in a coma. But he cried. And I realized that night that yes, our tongue has power. And I sat up straight in the bed and I thought, how could this happen? Because he is in a coma. How could I have the dream like this? And the next morning, very, very early, I left to go to a hospital again in Johannesburg. And when I arrived, my husband was crying, and I said, what's wrong? He said, last night, 2 o'clock, his heart just stopped beating. His heart just stopped. He said, but the next moment, he just starts again. And I realized what happened. I saw my child died in the spirit, but the moment I start speaking life over him, life turned back. Because usually in the mornings when he left to school, I say to him, Aldo, what is the key word? And he would say, only goodness and prosperity will follow me all the days of my life. In the afternoons when he returned and he pressed the button, I would say, what's the word? And he would say, only goodness and prosperity will follow me all the days of my life. And that is what we need to speak into our children's life. You need to speak life over them. You need to speak life over your marriage, over your finances, over everything of your life. And then we'll start the next week. He was still in a coma, no reaction. He was just lying there. And I walked around that bed and I said, you will live and you will have abundant life. I just kept on saying it. And day 12 arrived and they said to me, they're going to take him in for a second operation. And they said to Mrs. McPherson, we're going to try our best. But after that, we have to talk. They came out and they said to me, it's time to phone your husband. And I realized what they actually wanted to tell me. So I ran opposite ICU in that room. And I fell on my knees. And I called unto the mighty living God. And today I can say to you, I've never ever called unto him. Because the word of God says, whoever seeks me will find me. And that day, he spoke to me. The moment my spirit man called unto him and said, Lord, Lord, have mercy. He said to me, in a hearable voice, because yes, God does speak to us, in a voice that you can hear sometimes, through His Holy Spirit, through His Word, through your pastor, maybe today through me, God speaks. And He said to me, take off your shoes, you're standing on holy ground. That was the most amazing day of my life. And He said to me, Rita, do you believe that Jesus paid the full price? And I said immediately, yes, Lord, I do. And He said again, do you believe that my son paid the full price? And the reason that He asked me twice is only this. He saw how I ran after doctors day by day to find any hope in their eyes. And I could not. I could not find hope. And then, on my knees, I realized something that day. He showed me Calvary. And what He showed me that day, I'll never ever forget in my whole life. I saw my Jesus on the cross. I saw how they gave Him 39 stripes. I saw how He was unreckonable. Not the same as we saw on television. It was unreckonable. And in my spirit, something happened. I saw how the altar called holy place, most holy place, opened up. And He said to me, I did that for you. I did that for you so that you can come in. So many times we think to come into the most holies, only for the priests or the pastors? No, it's for us. He said, come in, my child, come in. I did that for you. And I realized. He said, that day He said, it's done. It's done. For everything you would ever need in your life, for you. And He said to me, I did that. I gave my son so you can have your son. And you must remember one thing. God is such a He's so powerful. He decides over life and death. Only God can decide that. Not me and you. And then He said to me, I want you to offer your child to me. When I left ICU, his heartbeat has been 32. And even though it was 32, when God said to me, I want you to offer your child to me, I could not answer Him. Because for 10 years, Aldo was my only child. He loved him so much. And God showed me a scripture. Just in my spirit, He showed me the scripture in Matthew where it says, you that love your son and your daughter more than me are not worth coming near me. And I immediately knew He was talking about me. And then I said, yes, Lord, I give him to you. And the moment I said yes, something happened. I opened my eyes and I was in the throne room of God, holding my son in my arms. And I was carrying him in there. And He said to me, put him right here. but I could see only God's two hands on Aldi's brain. And he said to me, I created this brain and I will heal this brain. In Luke, it says, Rieta, what man cannot do, God can do. And I'll never forget that day. There were so many. There were lights and lights and lights in the throne room of God. And I asked, tell me, why all the lights? And he said, God is light, and in him there is no darkness. No darkness. And he said to me the following, he said, I will heal him. I will restore him, but he's not yours. He belongs to me. And he said another thing. He said, my child, remember, it's not about you. It's all about me. Not my pain, not my suffering, nothing. It's about me. It's all about him. And then he said to me, but I want you to go back and walk the walk of faith. Hebrews 11 says, faith is not what you see. It's not what you see, but what you hope for. What you hope. Romans 4 tells us about Abram. And it's so beautiful. He said, listen to what Abram's God is teaching you. He's the God who gives life to the dead. And the same God calls the things that are not as if though they were. Against all hope, Abram, in hope, believed, without weakening in his faith. And he still, every day, he didn't see results, but he gave glory to God. And he just knew that God has the power to do what he promised. And God said to me, I want you to stand on that word and go and live in faith. He said to me, because Rieta, I'm giving you a promise today. But this promise needs your faith to get your miracle. God's promise plus my faith makes a miracle. A miracle. And I said, Lord, I'll do that. I'll do that. And I opened my eyes and 1.5 hours passed. So I wrote everything down, what just happened to me. And I had it on my website. That night I've put it on my website. And I praise God today for that. So I ran back to ICU because I remember they said to me, you know, go and phone your husband. When I walked in there, his heartbeat was up to 186. And I just praised the Lord because I knew something happened in the spirit. But for 3.5 months, we couldn't see any difference. Nothing at all. After a while, they took him out of ICU because he starts breathing on his own. They put a trachea in his throat and he had a stomach. This food went through his stomach and he was on that still. And one morning, a doctor called me and he said to me, Mrs. McPherson, we cannot do anything else to your son, but I want to give you this address and you can go and check your son in this place. Because you know what, your son will never be able to walk, talk, sit, stand, you know, everything. Worst case scenarios. I feel so sorry for you because this happened to your son and this midbrain and brain stem. And I just knew in my heart, I have a choice today. I can take everything, what they are telling me, Or I can just say, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Because love is all about what you believe. What you believe you will see. And I say, thank you so much. I will take my son home. And we will nurture him and look after him. And I went to my room and I said, Lord Jesus, please speak to me. What do I do with this reality, what they're trying to put in my hands? Just look at reality, Rita. Just look at reality. Lord, please tell me, help me. What do I do with this reality? And the Holy Spirit speaks to me and he said to me, how big? Tell me, how big was that rock in front of my grave? And I said, huge, Lord. He said, do you think anyone believed that I will went through that rock and I will rose from the dead? Do you think anyone would believe that or did believe that? I said, no, they didn't. He said, well, I gave you the promise and I said to you, I will be there for you. And I taught you in my word what faith is all about. So you go and walk the walk of faith. He said, not even my disciples, they start running when they saw me. So this is a lonely road, my girl. And I went home and we took him home and he was lying there. And we were just speaking life, life, life. So many people came to us and they saying to me, oh, so bad. Woman said to me one day, so tell me, aren't you scared that you didn't put off the machines? And I realized, this is a lonely road, but we have to speak love. For 3.5 months he was just lying, and nearly the 4th month, one day he opened his one eye. The other eye was still closed and blind, couldn't see anything. And he opened that eye. And the OT came and she put him in a chair and she wrapped him so he can just sit straight. And she starts showing him the A and the B and the C and the D. And he was looking around on the table and I said to him, do you want to write something? And I could see his head was just knocking his head a bit. And you know, for a mother, it looks like he was shaking his head. And I said to him, you want to write? And the OG said to me, no, Rita, never. And I just opened a cokey pen and I put him in his hand and he starts writing. And he started at A and he ended at Z. And he wrote and he said, thank you, Mummy, for never giving up on me. And I was shouting and I was crying out loud to the Lord. And I said, Jesus, you are alive. You're definitely alive, Lord. And he said, of course I am. And all this just went on. And they said to me, you would never ever remember anything. Anything. And I said, tell me your age. What school? What's daddy's cell number? Where do we go on holidays? Everything. He remembers everything. And he said to me, He said, Mommy, if you didn't offer me that day, I would have been dead. I said, how's this possible? How do you know about that? And he wrote and he said, do you remember the day of the accident when you were lying all over me? You looked into Jesus' eyes where he came and he fetched me. And then I realized that was the shaking I had, because no man will stand in the presence of the Almighty God. No man will stand in his presence. And Jesus came and he picked my son up. And he said to me, I was with Jesus all the time. All the time. I said, what did you do there? He said, we played, we sing, we worshipped him. And yes, Mommy, he taught me all the time. And then he starts writing about two children he saw in heaven. He wrote their names and their parents' addresses. And then I hit the stage where I thought, okay, yes, my son got injured badly injured. And he kept on writing, Mommy, you have to tell their parents. And the one boy, Anton, he showed around his head, he made a circle around his head, and he kept on showing me, and then he wrote, he said, you have to tell his mother he is healed. So a friend of mine took the letter, and she found Anton's parents. Nearly 300 kilos from us, she found them. And then Anton was a Down syndrome boy, and that's why he made the circle around his head. The other boy's name is Dwayne, but his parents call him Dwayna. And he wrote to the parents and he says, Dwayna is so happy in heaven. He wants you to be happy for him. And go and do what Jesus asks you to do. And those parents are flying all over the country today, bringing the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. Praise God. And this is where our journey starts, where we realize my son was in heaven. And I ran one day upstairs and I said, Lord, but this is so supernatural. What's going on in my house? And the Holy Spirit gives me this scripture in John 11 verse 40, where it says, Mary, Martha says to Jesus, you know, after Lazarus' death, she said, Jesus, why are you coming only in 4 days? I mean, he's 4 days already dead. And Jesus said to her, Martha, did I not tell you? Everybody that believes, will see my supernatural power and my glory. Not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, but you need to believe. And this is the way we walked. Every day something happened. He was totally blind in the one eye. The eye could not even open. And one day we took him to the doctor and he said to us, you know, this is the situation. And after a month or what, one night he woke me up because he was lying next to my bed on the ground because I was scared that he would fall off from the bed. And he woke me and he's showing me he wants to write. And I said, what? And he wrote and he said, Jesus touched my eye. Did you saw him? I said, no. He says, yes, he touched my eye. And a week later, his sight was back perfectly. Perfectly. And then for 6 months, my son could not speak. And I can tell you today, for a mother that said to her son, I would give you 5 rand if you will just keep quiet for 5 minutes. This is not an easy road to walk. I was on my face, crying out to the Lord for forgiveness. Lord, forgive me. Can you ever forgive me, Lord? Please watch. Watch at the words that are coming out of your mouth. And yes, 5 speech therapists didn't want to help us because they looked at the x-rays and said, oh no, sorry, this boy will never talk. One day somebody phoned and she said, you know, God showed me that I have to help Aldo. And he sat in front of the lady and I could see she was so nervous. And he starts writing to her and he said to her, you don't need to worry because it's not you that's going to make me talk. It's Jesus. And he circled Jesus. And from then on, every morning he wrote. And he starts writing and he said, Jesus, and he circled it, will make me talk. Jesus will make me talk. Jesus will make me talk. Jesus will make me talk. Thank you, Jesus, I will talk. And I said, why are you doing this? He says, because Jesus said to me, I have to speak life. I have to speak life. All of a sudden, I just remember something that I left out about the throne room. God said to me in the throne room, He will tell the world that Jesus is alive. He said, I will restore him, but he will tell the world that Jesus is alive. And then he starts writing now all these things. Every day we communicate with writing. And in every letter, he would say, Mommy, you have to tell the world that Jesus is alive. Mommy, you have to tell the world that Jesus is alive. Till I can do it myself. And then one day, in a speech therapist's office, he had to make noises and he couldn't even bring out a noise. And I just said to him, she said, can you make a noise to me today? I said, oh, Alder, just stop this crap and just tell her, say caterpillar or anything to her. And he starts, caterpillar. And I tell you, I cried out and we cried. And miracle after miracle after miracle happened. Just because we kept on speaking life. And today, my son is going to high school next year. He's still not back into a normal, he's in a private school, normal private school, but it's not in the, where all the children are in the normal high schools. He's in a private school because of his speech. His speech recovered, but very slowly. He speaks very slowly. And he just starts walking, so he can't walk that fast. And he's working on a computer because of his hands got a toxic in the one hand. So, but we are there. We are absolutely there. And the reason why I am telling you all these things today is because one day he was lying on his arms. And every afternoon, 5 o'clock, he is shouting out to the Lord. And he's calling, Jesus, Jesus. And I was saying, why are you calling to Jesus like that? And he said, he has to come and fetch us. One day I said to him, you know what, Alder? If you really know how I've prayed for you, you'll understand that I can't ask him to come and fetch us now. And he said, Mommy, you have to pray with me. And he was crying. He can't cry yet or laugh. He makes a funny noise. And I know that noise is crying. And he was crying. And I said, why are you crying? He said, because not everybody is going in. And I said, what do you mean in? He said, Mommy, in heaven, there's a big bridge, a golden bridge. He says, not everybody's going over the bridge. And then there's a huge door. And he said, your pulls are very small, Mommy. Those pulls are big. And then, Mommy, they start standing there and they are crying because they could not go in. And I said, tell me, into what? He said, Mommy, Jesus made a beautiful wedding supper for us, but we are not ready. And I was shocked. I was shocked. And he's saying to me, I have to tell the world, Mommy, that Jesus is alive. And he told us so many things about heaven and the streets and the houses and many things. But one day a friend of mine came to me and she said to me, you know, Reza, I saw this book. The book's name is Heaven is So Real from Chu Thomas. I saw this book and everything that she saw in heaven, Alder is also talking about. And I read the book. And one night I got to this page. And she was talking about the golden bridge. And the moment I read about the Golden Bridge, she had my attention. I'm reading. I noticed multitudes of people who were wearing sand-colored robes. Their heads were hanging low, and they looked very dejected and hopeless. Who are these people, Lord? I asked. They are disobedient Christians. How long do they have to stay in this barren, lifeless place? Forever, my daughter. The only ones who will enter my kingdom are the pure of heart, my obedient children. He went on to explain, many who call themselves Christians do not live by my word. And some of them think going to church once a week is enough. They never read my words and they pursue worldly things. Some who even know my words never have me in their hearts. I was shocked. And Aldo, every morning, when he woke up, he starts journal with the Lord. And that morning, only wrote Matthew 25. So I went to the Bible and I saw he was talking about the 10 virgins. 10 were sitting in the church, but 5 would be ready, and 5 not. 5 have oil, and 5 do not have oil. I said, Lord, what would this oil be? What would this oil be? And he said, that is my Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And I realized that we don't all have the Holy Spirit. Because one day I was crying, and I was crying. And I said, Lord, there's nothing left from me. Just look at my life. My life is an absolute mess. How could this happen to me? And God said to me, remember the 3D pictures, Rieta, when you were a child, you looked at that. But what happened? You had to focus. And focus and focus. And only then you could see the picture. And what a beautiful picture that was always. He said it's exactly the same with your life. I taught Peter, you will walk on the water if you focus on me. He said, my child, you need to focus on me. And that day when I said, Lord, I cried, I said, Lord, I'm so empty. The Spirit of God spoke to me and he said to me, I'm so glad. Because you see, my child, if you are full of yourself, I cannot fill you with my Holy Spirit. You need to die in yourself. You need to die in yourself. Even though I was a Christian, and born again, I was so full of myself. I was in control of my whole life. And God said to me, let me fill you with my spirit. And it felt like liquid love. And it just filled me. And it filled me. And it filled me. And the word of God says, streams of living water will flow out of you, and you will be like a tree planted at living waters. And then this tree will grow and bear fruit for people to eat. Because remember the fig tree when Jesus passed, it was a huge tree with beautiful green leaves, but no fruit, and Jesus cursed the tree. Because the word of God says, the tree will be known by its fruits. You cannot bear fruit if you're not filled with the Spirit of the living God. And Jesus said in his word, I will raise and I will sit next to my Father in heaven, but I will give you my Holy Spirit, that will guide you, will comfort you, to teach you, to do everything for you, to help you till I'm coming again. And that is why sometimes we feel so lost in this world, because we don't realize the Holy Spirit is living in us. He's not gone, but if you're full of yourself, He's not in control of you. You have to die in yourself every day. And the day I was so low, one day the Holy Spirit said to me, "Why are you so low in power? You need power in your life." I said, "I know, Lord, but why? How? Not why, how do I get that power?" He said, in John, he said, "Jesus is the bread of life. I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats My flesh and drinks My blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last days. For My flesh is real food, My blood is real drink. Whoever eats My flesh and drinks My blood," listen carefully, "remains in Me and I in him." Do you need power in your life? Take the bread of life every day and break it and eat it, and you will die with Him, and you will rise again. And nothing of yourself will be left. And then and only then, God can use you. Only then. And Jesus said to me, now one night I was crying out, I said, "Lord, how will I ever know if I'm ready? I'm really, really ready for this." He gave me the scripture in Revelation 3. And this scripture says, "I know your works and what you are doing. You are neither cold or hot. Would you be cold or hot? So because you are lukewarm, neither cold or hot, I'll spew you out of My mouth. For you say, 'I am rich, I've prospered, I've grown wealthy, I'm in need of nothing.' And you do not realize and understand that you are poor, blind, and naked." Because you see, how many people in life think and saying to me, "Rita, everything that you see, I've worked for." I can tell you the truth today. If God just closes His eyes, you will have nothing. Therefore, I counsel you to purchase from Me. You see, purchase means you have to pay the price. Gold that is tested by fire, so that you may be truly wealthy. And clothes to keep the shame from your nudity. And self to put on your eyes, so that you may see the Spirit. Jesus paid the full price. He cannot put anything extra on it. But now, me and you, we have to come and buy. We need to go through this fire. And I say to the Lord one night, "Lord, Jacob, set up one night till the sun rise." And he said, "Lord, I'll wait here till you bless me." And I said, "Lord, my name is Rita, I'm here. I need to know, how would I enter this feast?" And he gave me this beautiful vision where I saw an egg lying in maize. And he said to me, "For 15 years, my child, you were lying in this maize. But the egg, all the protein are inside. You need to break the shell. And the shell of the egg, Me, Myself, and I. Because if you were lying in the maze with your egg and with a shell, if I ask, 'Give me back the egg,' you can do that, can't you? The maze, yes, you can. But now, Jesus came and He made this covenant with us. And He said to me, 'I want you to break, and I want the egg and the maize to become one.'" And that's a process. And then He puts us in this little pan, saw, And then I'm sending you to the oven. Fire. Fire. And then I take you out. Throws out of the pan. He breaks this bread. And he said, my child, only now I can feed the world with you. Because now, me and you are one. We are one. And he said to me these words. He said, and now you will lack nothing. Because we are one. All your iniquities, all your pain, your sufferings is mine. And everything that is mine become yours. Because we are one. In John, so many times he said, I'm the bread of life. I'm the vine. In 1 John, it says, 1 John 5, God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Also in John 15, if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, so we are one. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. But why don't we get? I think it's because we're not one. And wow, that made me so free. I never ever have to strive again. I never have to worry again. I'm in need of nothing, because God says we are one. One morning while I was reading Bible, I got to this Deuteronomy 8. And he said, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert for 40 years. He said, I did that to humble you, to test you, to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep my commands. And I hungered you to feed you with manna. Someone that are not interested in the Word of God, I can tell you today, He's not hungry. He's not hungry. Because if you are hungry, the Word says, this parable, this Word is a living water and will fill you. You'll never get hungry. And I did that to teach you that man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And then he went on and he said, for the Lord your God is bringing you then into a good land, a land with streams and pools of water, springs flowing from valleys, hills, a land where wheat and barley, vines, fig trees, olive oils, honey, a land where bread will not be scared. And where, just listen what he's saying here. And then you will lack nothing. Deuteronomy 8, verse 9. Then you will lack nothing, because you are one with the living God. And Alter kept on writing. I want to read you some of these letters. He wrote this letter that is on one of the CDs, and he says, to everyone that also seek Jesus and His intimacy, be prepared for when He will come and He will fetch us. It will be quicker than we think. Will you please accept Jesus? Otherwise you will go to hell. Please do it quickly. You still have a chance. Jesus paid the perfect price for you and me. He showed me everything in heaven as well as hell. Believe me, you do not want to go to hell. Will you please accept Jesus? Jesus loves you so much. Please believe me. You are the reason why He sent me back. I did not want to come back. But He wants you to be ready. Love, Aldo. He wrote to me the other day, other morning, and he said, Mommy, it's time. You, I would say thank you to Jesus for this accident. For only now He can do with our lives whatever He wants to do. Mummy, you have to live a holy life to him. You belong to him. Won't you salve me with the Holy Spirit and with power? Won't you anoint me with the Holy Spirit and power, Mummy? I was talking the other day in Cape Town, and in this guest house, Brother Jung was always also in South Africa, and he was also there. I didn't realize it was Brother Jung. And we sat and had breakfast, and Aldo was saying to, he was turning his head and saying to Brother Jung, "Hallelujah, Amen, Hallelujah, Amen." And I said to him, "Please stop doing that." I didn't realize in jail, Brother Jung massaged the people, and if the people really enjoyed it in China, they had to say "Hallelujah." If they really, really enjoyed it, he said to them, saying "Amen." Because Brother Jung was in jail because he was preaching the gospel, and in China he could not. And the Holy Spirit said to Aldo, "Hallelujah, Amen." So Brother Jung turned his head and he started speaking to Aldo in Chinese. And Aldo, in a heavenly tongue, back to him. And the interpreter, just with big eyes, said to us, "Your son and Brother Yun's got the same message to the world, to tell the world that Jesus is alive and that Western Church is asleep." Yes, Jesus is alive. And he's right here today. And I'm speaking in so many places about the bridegroom and the bride and this wedding feast. And one day I said, "Lord, tell me about the bride. Tell me, how would you recognize the bride?" And I realized this in Luke 10, Jesus sent 72 people, 2, 2, 2, 2 in every town, and they were called acquaintances of God. And then there were the 12 disciples, which said to Jesus, "Lord, would you please teach us more?" And then there were 3 of them, and they were his friends, Peter, John, and James. Jesus took them into very difficult situations. Peter on the water, where Moses was on the mountain. They took Peter, John, and James. So many times it was them. And one day there was this one man, John, and his head was on Jesus' chest. And this man, to him, the kingdom of heaven was revealed. And he said to me, "Where would you find the bride's head?" And I said, "Lord, on the bridegroom's chest." And John had a love, intimate relationship with Jesus. And he said to me, "Rita, how would you know if someone is alive?" I said, "His heartbeat, Lord." He said, "Yes. Tell me, where are you with your relationship with my living Jesus? Are you acquaintance of him? Disciple? Friend? Or are you the bride? Do you know he's alive because you can hear his heartbeat? Are you covered with purity? Because only when purity meets purity, there is power. Do you need God's power in your life? You need to be covered with his purity." This is my message to you today, that you will have a love, intimate relationship with a living God. I can tell you, you don't need God's blessings. You need God. Don't chase His blessings. Chase God. Jesus did not die to give you a religion. He did that to give you a relationship. And that is why He died on the cross. For me and you to can have this intimate relationship. You need to be filled with His Holy Spirit so He can guide you. I want you to close your eyes today, just right there where you are. Father of the living God, I love you. I love you so much, Lord. Thank you for your Son. Jesus, thank you for this road. It's not an easy road, I have to say, but you give us the strength every day. And if we stay in you, Lord, there's no better place to be. Just no better place to be. Lord, we want to die in ourselves today. Holy Spirit, won't you open hearts today and show them what areas in their life do they still have to sacrifice? We want to sacrifice our whole life to you, Lord Jesus. Everything. We humbled ourselves in front of you. Be our God, be our Father, and thank you that we can be your bride. And if there's anyone today that have not yet accepted Jesus as your Savior, just say these words after me. Thank you, Lord. Father, I believe that your Son, Jesus, is the Messiah. I believe He died and He rose. I believe that He will come and fetch us. And I give my life to you today. I want to have a love relationship with you. I cannot afford, Lord, to live in the flesh anymore. I want to live in the Spirit. I want to be one in your Spirit, because only in your Spirit we will find the power. Only in the Spirit we will find your will for our lives. Lord, thank you that we know we belong to you today and our names are written in your hand. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your Holy Spirit that will help us with this road and will guide us. We worship you. And we honor you, and we truly love you, Lord. And yes, we will go into your word and study it and find all your promises, and we will live by faith. And not by might, nor by power, but by your Spirit. Today, it is 16 months down the line, and God gave me a beautiful platform. A company named Living Balls. We are living on this earth. It's a ball created out of God's hand. And if I ask you today, do you really live on this ball? John 10:10 says that the thief came to steal and destroy. But God came, Jesus came, so that you can have life and life to the full. And that is actually our mission, to tell the world that Jesus is alive. We are spreading balls all around the world. Rugby, soccer, golf, any balls around the world, but with a message. Every ball do have four colors. Black, for your sin. Red, for the blood of Jesus. White, holiness. And green, growth in Jesus. We send it to ministries all over the world, up in Africa, the children ran 10 kilometers after a ball just to have this ball. But we teach them as well this gospel. So this is such a beautiful tool for children to tell the world and tell everybody about Jesus. Only through His Spirit. The Word of God says, not by might nor by power, but by my Holy Spirit, you will be able to live on this living ball of God to the full. I'm inviting you today. If you feel in your heart that you want to become part of this project, feel free to go to our website www.sportballs.co.za. We need you to be part of this project. You know what? You can never ever outgive God. And I want to encourage you today to go and look and see what we are doing. If you want me to come to your country and to give my testimony, I'll do that. I want to tell you that Jesus is alive. And I want you to be part of this beautiful vision. And I want you to have the same life on this living pool that we are living on. A life in abundance. And I praise God for you. Thank you.